This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
It's certainly a story that's gotten quite a bit of attention in the relatively quiet town of Plymouth. There's basically a swingers club right near church. And the town sent a cease and desist letter, and now it's being appealed. So we've reached out to the town as well. But Steve Gagne, who I guess is the founder of the what they call the Wicked Fun Club, joining us now on Brian & Company. Steve, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Brian. I'm fine. How are you?
I'm good. So I mean, I'm a little bit hesitant on some of this stuff, but is the club does what I think it does? I mean, how would you describe it on the radio to people listening?
The club is a private members-only social club, which brings in people who are in what we call the lifestyle, the swinger lifestyle. So we're not a traditional, we're not like a nightclub or anything like that. We're just a club where we have a lounge where people get together. They have conversation. They talk. They get to know each other. And then when the time suits them, if they choose to, there are places within the club that they can go and explore.
And have sex. Correct?
Sure, if you want to say that. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. So, and when did it open?
We opened in November.
Okay. And so there's a bunch of questions here, and I appreciate you coming on. And when did you purposely open it near a church, or just was the best real estate you could find?
This is the best real estate we could find. We weren't doing anything to slight the church. We were doing everything we could to be quiet and private and not bother anybody. I explicitly tell our members to make sure that they respect the neighborhood, because we know there's a family that lives behind the church and there's a neighborhood behind our property, and everybody pretty much abides by those rules. But it's unfortunate that it came out because the pastor next door thought it was unusual that there were cars parked in our parking lot on Friday and Saturday nights, and then decided to play investigator and have the police involved, which they, investigated us for a month and a half and found that there was no criminal activity, and that should have ended it right there. But we fall within the guidelines of a social club. We're private members only, and we're not an open to the public adult use business. So I'm not sure why we're having this conversation or why we even have a cease and desist. So that's why we're appealing it.
So that's the key. The key term is this adult use. So if it is adult use, you can't do it there or that close to a church or there at all in the town, but you're saying it's not under the adult use because it's not like a strip bar or something like that.
Exactly. In the cease and desist, it basically defines our violation under a definition of specified sexual activities, which is an underlying definition under adult entertainment cabaret, which is licensed to serve food, alcohol, and features strippers, dancers, and things like that, which we don't do. Plus, we're private. We're not open to the public. Any of the four defined entities that they defined as adult use are open to the public. We are not. We're no different than you know, an Elks club, Polish club, where you can go in. If you wanted to smoke, you could smoke if that's what they allowed. Because the state and the municipalities can't go in and dictate that you have to follow laws that an open to the public business would have to follow. So we, as a social club, we just don't have to follow certain parameters that open businesses do.
Would you move or think about moving just to clear this up with the church, or are you going to fight it?
We're going to fight it. I mean, the church, we're not bothering anybody. We're not there when the church is there. The church isn't there when we're there. I even spoke to the pastor. I says, hey, if you're going to have something that goes into the evening on a Friday or Saturday night, and you give me enough notice, I'll make sure that we're not there. I want to accommodate. I want to be a good neighbor. We're not hurting anybody. We are decent human beings who, you know, everybody has their kink in life. And this is our groups, and we don't bother anybody. We have people from all spectrums, all walks of life, who are real estate investors, business owners, attorneys, doctors, mechanics, construction workers, but they are all decent people that I personally vet. I just don't let people in off the street. They have to go through a vetting process. They have to be a paid member before they're even given the address to the building.
Sorry to interrupt, Steve, because I want to get all my questions in, and we only have a couple of minutes. Steve, sure. Gagne with the Wicked Fun Club in Plymouth. First of all, the cease and desist, I don't know how the rules work. You get the cease and desist letter, do you have to stop? And then you appeal, and you can't start again until the appeal is heard and adjudicated, or can you continue to operate even though you received the letter?
Under Connecticut state law, we are still allowed to operate because there's no imminent detriment to human life or property. So we are still operating. I don't know. People think that we're closed, but we're not. But we are still able to operate during the appeals process, and if for some reason the ZBA says no to us, we take it to court, and we're going to ask the judge for a stay until we get this thing rectified. But we are very confident that we will win in court because this is a clear violation of our First Amendment rights.
Right. So I wanted to ask you, why is it violate the First Amendment?
Because they're trying to violate our freedom of expression to do what we want within a private environment. So there's a privacy issue. There's First Amendment right issues. So they're just violating just because they don't want us there.
We're talking with Steve Gagne from the Wicked Fun Club. So, I mean, I'm just curious. This isn't for me, but like people who want to be involved in your group, they go and they apply, or they, like, you said you vet your members. So how do people join this?
There are other social websites for the lifestyle that I have groups that I've built over the years. And I invite people through those websites, or sometimes it's word of mouth, and they have to go to our website. There's a join button. They have to fill out an application. Basically, it's a profile. Once they fill that out, I get notified, and then I approve. I say yes or no, and then they have to, you know, pay to become members to have access to the club. And it's once they pay that, then if they want to come to an event, they have to pay basically a donation fee if they want to attend an event.
How's business?
Business is good. It's picked up a little bit. We've lost about a dozen members, but we picked up a few here and there. It's amazing how many single men think that they could just go ahead and join, but I've denied every single one of them. That's the thing. We just don't allow anybody who wants to join. We're very, very particular. So,
well, let's stay in touch.
Absolutely. I appreciate you having me on.
Yeah, it's you know, things are pretty sleepy here in Connecticut. This is not a sleepy... Not a sleepy story. We're obviously going to see what the town says as well. But we appreciate you coming on and telling us your side of the story.
Thanks, Brian. I appreciate it.
All right. Steve Gagne from the Wicked Fun Club.
In 2009, 3 days before Halloween, a grisly crime stunned the seaport town of Anacortes, Washington.
I can only describe it as evil.
From 48 Hours, this is Train to Kill, the dog trainer, the heiress, and the bodyguard.
He couldn't control his obsession.
Who was the hunter and who was the hunted? Follow and listen to Train to Kill on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.